from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Pierre. Today in the state's capital marked the beginning of the third week of the 101st legislative session in South Dakota. In the Capitol building, leaders of both legislative chambers combined to tackle data centers. A Democratic lawmaker put a school lunch bill through committee with bipartisan support, and we'll discuss plenty of other bills. It's Monday, January 26th. Here are today's stories. Authorities say 11 people are facing charges in the overdose death of a South Dakota prison inmate. 46-year-old Timothy Tyree died in November at Mike Durfee Prison in Springfield from a K2 overdose. Attorney General Marty Jackley says the investigation into Tyree's death uncovered a drug ring. Of the 11 charged, 7 are inmates. 4 are private citizens. One of those, Trisha Bradley, was working as a food service employee for a vendor hired by the state. Jackley says that's how drugs got into the prison. There were 8 suspected drug overdose deaths in state prisons. Jackley says charges have now been filed in half those cases. The others remain under investigation. Senate and House leadership team up to introduce a new bill they're calling the Data Center Bill of Rights. President Pro Tem Chris Carr and Speaker of the House John Hansen say the bill protects residents from electricity cost increases and water shortages. This comes alongside disagreements between lawmakers over how to handle hyperscale data centers. Some want to provide sales tax incentives to attract hyperscale centers for the benefits of increased property tax revenue and economic development. Others, like Hansen, believe the state shouldn't foot the bill for any incentives.
It's not about whether they should come or shouldn't come. It's about fairness. You can make that same argument for any business that wants to come and develop a piece of property and set up shop in South Dakota. If you're going to do that, that's going to add more money to the property tax base and then thus reduce the burden overall. So that's the same for everybody. Anybody can make that argument. And so we're just saying when it comes to the richest tech companies in the world, we don't think those people in particular should be given a tax break.
Many of the data centers proposed in the state have claimed they won't build without a sales tax incentive. Hansen and Carr's bill, SB 135, prohibits the state government from granting tax exemptions for data centers. The bill leaves the door open for local tax breaks like tax increment financing or TIF districts and the governor's office for using current economic development tools. Carr points to other low tax and business regulations.
You know, when you start to talk about some of these other states and what they're doing, it's not apples to apples. Some of these have corporate income taxes. There's other fees and taxes that these data centers have to pay. So I think you got to look at it in its totality. Would they like this? Sure, they'd like it, but they have to consider some of the other things that they're not paying and some of the incentives of coming to South Dakota and being here versus the other states as well.
The bill will be heard on the Senate side first. It does not ban data centers, but requires operators to pay for all costs associated with electricity, as well as notify local water providers of water usage and certify that works with local water supplies before. If passed, the state would also be banned from preempting local regulations and restrictions for data centers. This comes alongside bills to create a sales and use tax exemption for the centers, and another to establish setbacks and limit nuisances like noises caused by data centers. I'm SDEPB's Jackson Dirks in Pierre. Momentum continues to swell on an effort to expand free school lunches to South Dakota's poorest students. It now waits for the eyes of House appropriators. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
Representative Caden Whitman, a Sioux Falls Democrat, has lobbied for expanding free school lunches in the state long enough that a hungry freshman in high school is now a senior. In 2026, the bill is advancing out of its home committee with just one dissenting vote.
I'm overjoyed that today's committee hearing went so positively with a do pass recommendation to appropriations on a 13-1 vote. I think it's very clear that over the last few years, the conversation around supporting kids in school through school lunches has become more palatable to folks, and we're seeing that need in our rural communities in addition to our urban communities.
While Whitman says the work isn't over in the state's Republican-controlled legislature, real progress is being made.
And I know one of the big conversations is going to be, how do we fund this in perpetuity? But for anyone listening out there, I would just like to remind you that it's been a long time, if ever, that we have not had a surplus in our state. And this is an extraordinarily small targeted amount to provide breakfast and lunches for the poorest families in our state.
The total cost to state comes in at roughly $600,000, an amount that's been reached after years of bipartisan negotiation by Whitman and was supported by committee Republicans. Highlighting this bipartisan effort, the bill was advanced to House Appropriations on a motion by committee members, Brookings Republican Representative Roger DeGroot, and seconded by Rapid City Democrat Nicole Uri Balk. However, that was still too much for the Bureau of Finance and Management, which testified against the proposal in the House Education Committee. Grant Judson spoke against the bill.
This bill would require the Department of Education to pay the 40 cents for lunch and 30 cents for breakfast. This is a federal program, and the cost of meals are already heavily subsidized by the federal government and ultimately us as taxpayers.
The BFM was the only opposition testimony to the bill. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
A bill expanding law enforcement ability and investigations involving crimes against children is advancing. The South Dakota Senate unanimously approved SB 44. It's backed by Attorney General Marty Jackley. He says the bill gives investigators additional subpoena power in cases where child pornography is involved. The bill next moves to the House. A legislative panel is advancing a proposal to ask South Dakota voters to implement term limits on state lawmakers. Joint Resolution 501 caps the number of years a lawmaker can serve in the legislature to 16. Currently, the only legislative term limit is by chamber. Lawmakers can serve four terms in one chamber, then switch to the other. Under the resolution, once a lawmaker served eight consecutive terms, they would need to take a two-year break before running again. SJR 501 is backed by Republican Senator Michael Roll. If it's approved by the legislature, voters would have the final say in November. A bill establishing guardrails over an economic tool called the Future Fund dies in committee. The fund is controlled by only the governor and supported by a tax on employers. SB 1 would have created rules around the fund and required disbursements to be approved by the Board of Economic Development. The bill was locked in committee after a 4-4 vote due to an excused absence. The Senate State Affairs Committee voted to strike down the bill today 5-4. Legislators have discussed establishing other bills that would put guardrails on the fund. Another bill that hasn't been heard yet would require information about the fund be reported to different legislative committees on an annual basis. A bill aiming to establish a pre-trial supervision pilot program hit a roadblock on the House floor. After failing by a lone vote with three lawmakers excused, a motion to reconsider was filed by proponents of the bill. The proposal will be reconsidered on the House floor soon. The bill is supported by the state unified judicial system and would be housed in Pennington County. A similar program based in Minnehaha County reported wide success. That includes nearly 40% fewer people skipping their parole dates. The House of Representatives defeats a student-led effort to count varsity athletics towards high school graduation credit. The bill would have allowed varsity student-athletes to earn up to one-half of a physical education credit needed to graduate high school. Proponents say it rewards high-performing student-athletes for dedication to physical fitness. Opponents argue there is an existing process under the state's Board of Education standards to adjust high school graduation standards. After a debate of potential unintended consequences of the legislation, lawmakers rejected the bill with 31 in favor and 36 opposed. The Board of Education standards is set to hold public hearings on physical education standards in the 2027-28 revision period. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.